Hey, so quick interlude here as we switch from Series 2 to Series 3 of Challenger Cities. And I just wanted to take a minute in between the interviews, the edits, and the write-ups to talk about how this started, where it's going, and why I think it matters more now. So, especially over the last few weeks, the subscribers have gone up, the comments have gone up, the likes have gone up, the people getting in touch have gone up. In fact, our first interview of Series 3 wasn't initiated by me, it was initiated by people getting in touch saying, hey, we love the podcast. Would you be up for us suggesting a guest? And more on that later. Anyway, about a year or so ago now, almost exactly a year or so, I was in Toronto, feeling a bit stuck physically, mentally. I felt stuck in a city that was like full of promise, but almost allergic to creativity, innovation, novelty even. Weirdly, Toronto is one of those places that loves to use the word world-class in referring to itself. And I wonder if they actually understand. Nobody else ever uses the term world-class. Even the places that are the best cities, companies, systems, whatever in the world, like I never hear them refer to themselves as world-class because they just don't think in that mindset. And despite calling itself that all the time, Toronto makes it nearly impossible to build housing or even develop a comprehensive transport system. It even struggles to fix the things that it knows are broken by copying what's worked elsewhere. And I almost wonder if it's a city that's so afraid of being wrong that it doesn't even dare to be great anymore. So that's kind of what started what was then called Challenger City TO. It had a handful of followers, had a big question, which was like, can we go and find the unconventional, the unknown, the sort of maybe quietly radical or subversive voices trying to make Toronto a better city? And that came from culture, it came from housing, came from transport, came from creativity, came from nightlife, came from how people were working and living differently, how people were trying to build housing differently. And really that frustration became a lot of fuel. I don't think it had the impact that I hoped it would have in season one. In fact, more people listened to it in Greece than listened to it in Toronto, which is weird. And then so season two was all about switching it to become a bit more global, a bit more open. Yes, poking at Toronto when it could, but not being a Toronto podcast. And so it rebranded as Challenger Cities. And now the weird thing is I get people from Toronto being like, can I be on your podcast? Which is maybe showing we're starting to have a little bit of an impact. I found that I've heard from CEOs of some of Canada's biggest companies listening to it and saying, oh, that was really interesting. We're going to have something to show you in a few months' time because what you're talking about is some of the problems that we're trying to tackle and starting to think about. So that's kind of really lovely. So we've gone beyond Toronto and we've featured voices from across Canada, the US, the UK, the Netherlands. This season's going to go further. And I've had a bit more time to travel. So spending time in places like Dakar and Casablanca last month or month before that was kind of a really nice sort of palate cleanser of seeing the world and seeing what, I don't want to call them lesser cities, but these cities are not necessarily known as the frontiers of urbanism. And in many cases, in Dakar's a great example of making some of the same mistakes that developed Western cities have made, but developing them in the African context. In other ways, their cities are amazing examples of what you can do with much lesser resources. And at the point when Casablanca and Rabat can build tram lines quite quickly and comprehensively, and cities in Canada are still struggling to do it, I think that kind of suggests that we need to look elsewhere for inspiration. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be going to Tirana, Dansk, Copenhagen, two of those probably the lesser known amongst like the urbanism circle, Copenhagen obviously being one of the poster children. But I'm probably more interested in those underdog cities because that's where like the most interesting stories live. So I really believe in us being able to make better cities that are great to live in, play in, work in, date in, shop in, eat in, drink in, raise kids in, grow old in, build businesses in, escape from, come back to, and have friends and family come visit. But if we want that, we have to change the status quo, and that's ultimately why this thing is called Challenger Cities. And I've heard from loads of people that keep doing what you're doing, Ian, so I'm going to keep doing it. It's becoming not just a set of conversations Ian has with interesting people doing interesting things in urbanism. I hope it's becoming a bit of a playbook, a bit of a manifesto, a not-so-quiet rebellion against mediocrity that seems to become the default. And at the end of every episode I do, I always ask people, if you had a magic wand, what would you do with it? And the funny thing is that a lot of the answers that come back aren't pure, unadulterated fantasy. There are actually a lot of things that we could just start doing tomorrow. Maybe we'd be sort of doing it and then begging for forgiveness later. Maybe they are actually things that we can control. And maybe that's the whole point of this thing. It's change doesn't need to have a fully fleshed out 5-year plan that's been approved by everybody and doesn't upset anybody. It can often start with, what's the biggest possible future that we can imagine for ourselves? And what's the smallest possible thing that we can do right now? And that might be us as individuals, it might be us as a community group, it might be a company, it might be something that happens in City Hall. But I want to push past that idea that change in cities needs to come from the public sector and the politicians. Yes, they help. And our first episode of Series 3 is with a politician. But there's so much that we can do as individuals. And I think there's a huge, huge role here for companies. For innovation doesn't need to be about how can we AIify the things in our business. It can often be about how do we create a better physical human interface to what we're doing, to where people are living, where people are working, where people are shopping, where people are playing, etc. So I think the momentum is building behind this thing. But I have an ask of you as we kick off Series 3. Which is, if you've been listening to this, if you've been reading the write-ups, if you've been enjoying some of the content, please, 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 can you share it with somebody? Please, can you rate it and give it one of those 5-star like things? I hate it when podcast hosts say this at the start of episodes. I really, really do. But they say it because it works. So I want to get this to get more traction. Please do like it, share it, rate it, etc., because it will help a ton. Send it to somebody who you think should care, but maybe doesn't. Go and provoke somebody. I do that all the time. And secondly, I'm all ears to people wanting to come and share stories that we should be telling and amplifying. So I want to hear about overlooked neighborhoods that are doing something really, really cool. I want to hear about cities that are not necessarily pursuing the perfect solution and may have even failed, but perhaps they're just being more interestingly less wrong. I want intros to people that people aren't watching but probably should be, because I know every 5 minutes, somebody somewhere in the world is screaming at the top of their lungs, but we're not Amsterdam, we're not Copenhagen. And like, yes, I totally agree. I'm totally with it. Nobody was. Amsterdam didn't become Amsterdam by trying to be Amsterdam. It became Amsterdam by doing the small things that it could do to move itself to become a better city. And yes, Paris is now the poster child of urban cycling from copying a lot of what Amsterdam did. But it's not copying it like for like. So I think we can still be inspired by these sort of heroic cities of urbanism, whether it's Amsterdam, whether it's Paris, whether it's Copenhagen, whether it's New York, whether it's Tokyo, whatnot. But I'm also really, really excited by places that do things a bit differently, perhaps on lesser resources, perhaps a bit more creatively, a bit more cheaply. So I'm fascinated by the cities that might be secondary and tertiary cities, the ones that aren't necessarily copying what other places are doing, but are going, what's the smallest possible thing we can do right now to move ourselves into a better direction? So let's try and find the next ones. And lastly, thank you, because this really did start out as a labor of frustration. It really has become a labor of love. And I'm really excited to see where it goes next. So starting the next day or two, Series 3 kicks off. Thank you very much to being challengers.